Welcome everyone to Electronic Talks podcast episode 29. I'm your host Johannes and I'm very proud to have this guest today calling in from Melbourne, Australia. It's Sunnyism. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. Sorry for being late. I'm late for this interview. But yeah, stressed out, you know, lacking sleep from being a new dad. No, I'm good. Life's good. Can't complain. Yeah.
Well, big congrats on the fatherhood.
Yes.
From what I understand, that's also a very big inspiration in your music right now, I would guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe before we head into that, we could also go back in time a little bit, because even though you are calling in from Melbourne right now, you actually have a history with the Nordic music scene. So back in 2020, actually, your first album, Union Integration of the Shadow, was released in Denmark. Is that correct?
Yeah. I at the time was living in Copenhagen in 16 or 17, I think it was the start of 2016, maybe. I moved to Copenhagen. I was like trying to, I had just moved from Melbourne after being in a pretty successful like indie pop band, you could call it, in Australia. Okay. We actually toured, we played it. The Basis loosened in like 2011 and toured around Scandinavia and Germany and stuff. I kind of fell in love with Copenhagen and was living there and released. That was my first record in 2020. It was kind of a shame actually, because I finished it and we just started the sort of like album campaign in the December of that year, and COVID, I think, broke out.
I see. Yeah.
In January. So it kind of really destroyed the reach of that record. I couldn't play any shows to support the release of it. It was kind of frustrating. So.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just going from the album title, it's very interesting. What was the whole concept of your first album? I mean,
it's like
shadow, and it sounds like something psychological, or what was it?
Yeah. Do you know about this concept, the Jungian?
Not too much, but I know that like within psychology, you have a shadow self, right? Is it related to that?
Yeah. So it's about accepting like the worst parts of yourself, like which is kind of called the shadow. There's different, I mean, that's the interpretation of it, but my interpretation of it is like that there's aspects of the ugliest parts of who you are. Mm-hmm. And once you can, accept them and learn to like coexist with them and refine who you are as a person, it's like, you're at like Neo level or whatever, you're kind of like becoming more whole and just a better person. So union meant like the coming together of the shadow, and I think a lot of that was connected to the fact that it was my first album as Sunnyism, but it was not my first music. Like I'd put out three EPs prior to that, and it was all just dance music. It was all just underground, like house, deep house, whatever, with no vocals, because I didn't want to sing. Like I really like had fallen out of love with like writing songs, like, and making tracks was more interesting to me at the time. So I the band that I was in was like very popular in Australia.
I see.
There's actually a gold record there from that band, but this is actually my dad's office. I'm at his house at the moment. Because I don't want this in my house.
What was the name of the band actually?
It was called Gypsy and the Cat.
Gypsy and the Cat. Okay.
Yeah. So
but now you're releasing your first album, and you're suddenly in Denmark as well. Could you describe that a little bit for me? And you said you couldn't really promote the album, but what kind of feedback did you get, and how did you proceed after releasing that album?
There's so many emotions around that time, because like it was actually a really beautiful time, because I just sort of like moved in with Yulia, who like is my wife, and she's from Malmö, and she was living there, and like she would travel over to Denmark and go to university. And so we met in Copenhagen, and so there was a part of COVID that I liked, because we got to be intimate with each other all the time and spend time together, and the interference of life wasn't there. It was just, we just had each other. So that was really cool. But yeah, like on the musical side, professional side, just as a professional musician, it was absolutely heartbreaking. Like I feel like maybe I don't feel like my music's ever recovered from that time, to be honest. My career as a musician, like I think I'm still working through the jungle or the shrub, like of just like what was left, like of the music scene or the club scene or the live music scene, even after those 2 years.
But would you say
good but frustrating?
Yeah, of course. But would you say that like your musical past from the band, etc., flowed into this record sound wise or how would you describe your journey into creating your own sound as a solo artist in this case?
So for the Union Integration of the Shadow, like that was more, as I was saying before, like that was me finally, like, because I hate my voice, like it's really hard to explain, but this band was really successful, but I hated the music to some degree. Like I liked what we did because I like writing pop music. Mm-hmm. That's a different pursuit, but I hated how I sounded. Like I have a very high-pitched voice when I sing. I can sing in falsetto, like the Gibbs, the BJ's kind of thing. So we had that kind of like MGMT style, you know, electric feel type aesthetic to the vocals. But like the integration of the shadow thing was about like accepting that maybe there's some good stuff about that and I need to start developing it, like meshing it into what I'm doing in the electronic space. And I found that was interesting. So that could have influenced the album in like, okay, you can write songs, you know that craft. Mm-hmm. You need to start, you know, integrating that into this album. And so it did influence the record because there were verses and choruses instead of just, you know, peaks and falls and drops like in most electronic music. So, yeah, it's a special record to me in that way, that it was the first time I decided to come back to doing, because I feel like I'm a proficient songwriter, but actually as an electronic music producer, I'm still learning. It's very new to me. So yeah,
I think that's one of the things that's kind of exciting about your music too, because you're meshing a lot of different influences and creating sounds that maybe aren't always that obvious, you know. So
yeah,
I think that's part of the also of the project.
Oh, thanks. That's nice to hear. Yeah, it's one of those things that like some people hear it, other people don't. Like, I think it's very difficult these days to be original. I have a lot of conversations with a good friend of mine who's a fine artist in Stockholm, and a really really good, very good DJ, Digo, and I won't say his name because he'll kill me if I say this, but we talk about it often, how it's very, I don't know, like electronic music is really, it's hard to make. it's hard to do well, and it's hard to do with originality. Mm. Like it's really hard, and a lot of stuff is good, but it sounds just, it's not much, it's not reinventing the wheel or anything. It's just deep house or it's just techno.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, yeah. That's a new challenge. It's hard to reinvent the norms or change the norms or create an original sound. I think that's something that many people kind of struggle with when they enter into electronic music.
Yeah, finding a voice without being able to have a voice, really. It's like usually in music, I'd say in pop music, that's the one characteristic of lots of bands that really sets them apart is, you know, it's very difficult to hear. And maybe in the 60s and 70s, you could really hear like, you know, a rock guitarist having a specific style of playing guitar.
Yeah.
But really it's about the voice, like in each band, and the storytelling is really the aspect that makes something unique. Mm-hmm. Whereas in electronic music, it's like everyone's got an 808. Well,
yeah,
if you're really rich, you've got one, but you know, lots of people have 808s or 808 plugins or 909s or 303s or 606s and or Juno or whatever they're using. M1. So it's hard to really sound different. Like it's like you've really got to squeeze the lemon dry to find those little bits that are unique. So I don't know if in any way I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. For someone, that's great. But I don't really feel like I am. I feel like I'm still yet to do something that's very original, I think.
Mm-hmm. And if we move on from that period of your first album, or move on within that period, back in 2021, you released Island Impressions as well. And this
yes.
album was more Swedish-based in a way, because it was recorded on an island in the Stockholm archipelago. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was recorded in Ingerö, on Ingerö. So, yeah, it was... during COVID, so we kind of moved actually towards the end of COVID from Copenhagen to Sweden. Mm-hmm. My wife now, we got engaged and decided to move to Sweden because she'd finished university and she wanted to work in Sweden. We moved into central Stockholm for about 4 months. We were on Östergötagatan, and like it was really loud, and it was still, things were weird with COVID. Like there were no gigs or anything like that, and it was expensive living there. The rent was fucking crazy. Like, I was just like, this is not sustainable. Like right now, so. Yeah, I went on to Blocket and I found like this summer house mm-hmm. on Ingerö with an ocean view and a little dock or jetty. And this lady was renting this out for like literally half the price of what we were paying. And we had a car at the time. And I just said to my wife, like, I have to live here. Like, yeah. This would be amazing for me. Like, it's 30 minutes into the city, but like, so we may as well do this, because when we live in Australia, like it takes 30 minutes to get everywhere pretty much. So yeah, that record was more of a concept record about, yeah, being an Australian, moving out into the archipelago and just being absolutely blown away by how beautiful it is just stunning. And I feel like it's so unique. Like, I've just never seen nature like that in my life.
So very nature inspired, but at the same time, would you say that it's a more of an experimental album, or that you had even more, you tried your way around with the electronic sound that you had on that album?
Yeah, a little bit. It got dark. It's darker. Can you hear that? That it's a bit, just a bit. It's a little bit darker. There are some songs in there that are just darker and more contemplative. Like, you know, I'm thinking more about life, like, you know, it's more introspective in the sense that I, yeah, like we're in COVID and there's no gigs and all the clubs are shut and I'm, you know, but like I've got this beautiful, there's such a duality to this whole time, I feel like, for me, because it was just so inspiring. But also that, you know, it's like you check your emails every day and like nothing's happening. So
yeah.
It was, I feel like that being out there saved me in some ways from like just quitting music entirely. It gave me like an avenue to like write or talk or record what I was seeing or feeling in those, you know, like views. So yeah, no, it's darker than anything I think I've written, but actually a lot of people say to me that that's their favorite record. So maybe I should write dark music. I don't know. Like,
really? That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe also makes sense because of the period and like being out on an island, it's a little bit more isolated and yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in some ways, like I say this to a lot of my friends and they kind of agree with me that during COVID, like, I feel like in life there's so many distractions and particularly as a musician or a music producer, like going out for beers or having a drink with someone or catching up, like it's so distracting to like what you're trying to do. And so COVID presented this opportunity to like literally just knuckle down and kind of just do what, you know, you want to do, which is like what you're, the work that you're doing, and that was music for me. So I felt like there was much more attention to detail in that record than maybe the other stuff. Like it's the level of concentration I don't think I could give to an album again unless there was another pandemic.
Right. No, that makes sense. And at the same time, it feels like it must have been a productive period for you because, I mean, even the year after in 2022, you released Clock Without Hands. That's basically at the time we met, and which is an album I really, really love. And there it felt like you had, I don't know, as you say, like maybe Island Impressions was more melancholic, but they felt there was some kind of forward momentum or kind of more, forward-looking momentum in that album. Could you talk a little bit more about that? Because it's, you know, it's all about time, the theme of time as well, right?
Yeah. The that album, is like it's out there. Like I've spoken about it a lot, but that record's about like my wife and I lost a baby girl during the writing of that record. Her name is Astrid, so. Clock Without Hands is about like time standing still, like you know, like it's kind of like a time capsule really, like of that moment for me and how I felt as like being a prospective father, like, you know, in that time recording it, I thought I was becoming a father,
right?
And then as I was finishing it, like I was no longer becoming a father. And so that this is like, there's aspects of that record that are very like optimistic and just excited, and others that are, you know,
that's the dynamic
like not
record.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Just like as with all your music, it's really more like a canvas of what's happening in your life at that time in some sense. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's like, what as in any art form, like I think what you're trying to do is be observant of, like you're constantly just you're like a creep really, like you're observing life and what's happening around you and you're trying to express it really, like and or feel things deeply, like so I just think that it's more that probably everyday things are interesting, and so I prefer to talk about real things that are happening because I think there's more inclusivity in that, like it's easier to connect with other people through music when you're talking about issues or things or that may be a common feeling, shared, you know, things.
Yeah,
it's hard to explain. I don't really know if I'm explaining that well, but
relatable.
Yeah, relatable, exactly. It's a better word. Yeah.
And just to get back to where we are today, if we just go chronologically, but you released two singles so far this year, Shadows and Song for Julia. Tell us to start a little bit more about those particular songs.
Yeah. So I really like, you know, Ørjot, the Norwegian producer.
Mm-hmm.
He like did a lot of production with Annie.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're in a relationship. He actually died in the early 2000s, I think, of disease. So when he was really young, 31 or something. But he wrote this song for Annie. And like this song, I really love this song. And I liked the fact that, like, you know, it's like when you're younger and you're dating someone and you would make a mixtape for them or something, like,
yeah,
or burn a CD for them. Like, I thought it was just so ballsy that this guy just like wrote a fucking song for this girl and he named it after her. Like, so yeah, I don't know. Like, I felt like naming the song after her, and then Shadows is a different beast. That's a track about letting go of Astrid and the trauma from that pregnancy and creating space for my son Ingmar and that pregnancy and the time when he entered the world and those early days of being a father finally after really wanting it for so long.
Yeah. Very interesting, because that's basically, if I'm not mistaken, the name of your new album is Dad Zone. Is that correct?
Yeah, Dad Zone. Yeah.
I love it.
Actually, I haven't. It's so funny. Like, I haven't posted about it yet. Like, I mean, I've released the pre-order for it on Bandcamp, but I like on my socials, I haven't said that I'm putting that this music is attached to it. So I'm going to maybe do that when we get off the phone.
Okay. That was the only thing that I could find at the moment that was the thing that's coming up.
Yeah, it's out there. Like, I think it's been, it's obviously been sent out to like publications and stuff, but I actually haven't posted it to people. So I need to do that. But yeah, it's called Dad Zone.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's a funny title. This is more playful, this record, for sure. Yeah.
And what is it going to be released?
So it's out December 14th.
Yeah.
Just in time for Christmas.
Yeah, perfect, perfect. And could you tell me a little bit more about like your current sound and what you've been trying to achieve with this record?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, this record. Like, so a friend of mine, DJ Pop-Up, he is a producer and DJ based in Copenhagen. Mm-hmm. He's actually living in Aarhus at the moment, but
mm-hmm.
he's from Copenhagen. And we're like best friends in Copenhagen. So like we've collaborated on a track that's very underground, deep house track.
Mm-hmm.
But really besides that, most of it's like in the songwriting realm. Like it's quite, you know, there's like lots of acoustic guitar moments.
Mm-hmm.
There's sort of lots of like, you know, Mr. YT, like kind of deep house stuff on there as well. But it's not, it's a smaller record because it kind of was sympathetic to the fact that like I'm a dad now, I just don't have as much time. So seven songs felt like, you know, like what I could give to it. So there's less music on it, but it's more, I don't know, it's more playful. It's reflective of moving away as well from Europe and the struggle of like, you know, like there's a track called IRL in real life, you know, and that's about like having good friends in Denmark and Sweden and just like wondering if they'll forget me, like now that I'm living at the end of the train tracks kind of thing. So, I'm really happy with it. Like it's I'm really proud of it, and like hopefully people respond to it. But it is probably a more of a step even further towards the kind of the more pop stuff. I foundations that I came from. You know.
Even more back to the origins a little bit.
Yeah, more to the kind of poppiest side of, you know, my, you know, how I sort of cut my teeth in the music industry, you know, as a younger guy. But I'm still fascinated. I don't know, like I feel like it's so difficult to get that balance of cool, not cool, but just, you know, like tasteful underground music, but with vocals. Like maybe it's not possible, but there are people out there that do it really well. I'm trying to, that's my pursuit.
Yeah. And I mean, if we go back to your Denmark days, like could you tell us a little bit more about Northern Underground, like that movement, that label? Like what was the idea and what was the whole concept behind that?
Well, the whole concept was that, it's a very long story, but like the whole concept was that Northern Underground was supposed to be a label that put out pan-Scandinavian records.
Mm-hmm.
But there was an issue with the person that was managing me. Like I was managed by someone in Denmark at the time, and they had like a gambling issue, and they were a distributor and manager for other people too. And so there's this thing about money being taken. And
oh really?
So yeah, it was just this whole thing. So in the end, like I couldn't really afford to like press other people's records.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it kind of turned into this thing where it was just me putting out Sonnyism records,
mm-hmm.
On there. I've put out, like, I think the way I've tried to do it is like, you know, generally speaking,
mm-hmm.
I there's a collaboration in some way with the friend from Scandinavia,
mm-hmm.
On each record. So, I mean, not from Scandinavia, from Denmark, really, like all my Danish friends have featured on there. Like via either a remix or say on this record, the co-writing track that I did with DJ Pop-Up.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the intention of it, but sadly it's only become mostly a graveyard for Sonnyism records.
Sounds very sad. I mean, you've released proper records on vinyl through that label, so I think it's a very nice initiative, and that, you know, the fact that you took the time and energy to create it and release your music that way is a testament to itself in some way.
Yeah, thanks. I feel like you're the only person that cares about what I do.
No, I don't think so. Do you think?
Can I speak to you every day? This might keep me doing music. Hearing you. Gloat about what I do.
I'm really happy to hear that. No, but I feel exciting. I feel it's exciting also that, you know, especially the new album coming out, and you know, maybe then at some stage in the next year or so we can see you perform that in Stockholm again, perform your music.
Yeah, I'd love to. We tried to sort this out in summer, actually. We were visiting my son Ingmar, like we were introducing him to my wife's family because he was born in Australia, actually. So we went back to Europe, I did a little like a DJ thing at Rish, but I feel like, again, like going back to, I feel like Snicker and you are the only, like, Mika, like the only people that, like, I feel like are into what I do there. So I never get booked for anywhere besides playing at Rish, but it'd be nice to at some point come down and or go up to Stockholm and do some like a proper show. I'd love to play live actually there. It would be fun. Yeah.
It could be an interesting thing just to get a chance to become the DJ gigs, right?
Yeah, I'd love to like sing some songs and like do something kind of heavy but live. Like it would be nice, but yeah, we'll see how things go.
Yeah, we'll see how things go. I mean, before we wrap this up, is there anything else that you know you think people should know or be aware of or look forward to when it comes to your music and what's going on?
Oh, well, like I think there might be a little bit of a break from Sunnyism for a little bit. I want to do after this record, because I feel like I've done an album a year for like five years. Well, I did like this is my fourth album, so every year I've done an album.
Yeah,
and before that I did like two EPs a year. So I kind of want to. There's just a lot of music out there that for this project, and I'd like people to sort of, you know, marinate in that for a little while. And then I'm working on a down tempo project at the moment.
Okay.
Which will be a bit more like, which I want to feature just female vocals on, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's more like 90s kind of.
Probably.
Yeah, Durity Column kind of, it's sounding fun. So that might be the next thing I do after this record, I think. But other than that, I just actually want to say thanks to you for doing this. It's nice to talk about electronic music.
Yeah, you, man, for taking the time. I mean, it's not obvious to find a good time slot between Melbourne and Stockholm anyways. So I'm very happy that we finally made it happen. So
yeah, we did. It's a shame we couldn't do it in person, but that time was really crazy for us being over there.
No worries at all. And you know, I really hope we can catch up next time in Stockholm.
Definitely.
Yeah, so thank you so much for coming to the podcast, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah.
And for everyone back home, make sure to support the new album that's coming out 14th of December, Dad Zone. You can find it through the Bandcamp that is posted on Sunnyism's Instagram and all of his pages on socials. So that was it for episode 29 of Electronic Talks podcast. Thank you so much. See you again next time.